Welcome to Drunk to Who Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Steve.
And Steve, today we're on episode 90.
Ooh.
Can you believe it?
Yes.
It's a, is that a prime number?
No.
Okay, it's divisible by 10?
It's divisible by more than one and itself.
That's a prime number.
So
yes. This is divisible by more than prime numbers.
It's divisible like 3 and 30 and 2
45
and 45 and 30 and 10 and 9 and probably other things. I don't know.
Well, thank you for coming to this less than prime episode.
Yes.
We're going to be discussing today Series 6, Episode 10 called The Girl Who Waited.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But Steve, you brought up something before we start recording.
Oh, yeah. I had just one or two thoughts about that have been nagging at, like a little spot at the back of my brain, like an itch. About Night Terrors?
Night Terrors.
So
let's just say it's like, here's the little thing that Steve forgot about last episode. Go, Steve, go!
Okay, but now I need to ask you a question.
Okay.
So you said that episode was supposed to take place as the season premiere or just earlier
in
the season?
No, earlier in the season.
Okay.
It was going to be like episode 4, which they filmed. That was the first episode they filmed for the season.
Okay.
And that's why you kind of got a little bit.
So I think it would have been better if at the end of this episode, Amy was turned into goo. Instead of the other one, because it revealed she was a goo person.
Okay, wow.
Because then they could have actually, like, the people who got turned into dolls, there would have been higher stakes. Or maybe this is how, like, maybe Rory finds out she's not human. Because like, we know, like I said in the earlier episode, like, the second she got turned into a doll, like, I was like, oh, this is going to be fixed. It's not a problem.
Okay.
Because they're not going to kill Amy. And the other thing, it was it felt like a money-saving episode because they didn't have many sets. They had, like, a couple of apartments and then this, Victorian dollhouse type thing, which
sure.
looked like they could have repurposed from an earlier episode of Doctor Who or just other episodes of British TV, you know, kind of. Like,
oh, yeah,
just,
that,
like,
totally.
Giant, grand rooms. It looked like a slightly cheaper episode, like these papier-mâché doll heads that they put on people.
I thought they were kind of creepy looking.
No, they were creepy looking, but the main thing was, like, I was thinking, like, if this could have been where we found out that Amy wasn't human. That version of Amy, you know?
And because, okay, well, yeah, but if this was going to be the fourth episode, that because I was just, like, just checking, they released, well, they revealed on the sixth episode of the season.
Oh, okay.
That, but, like, this could have been, if they kept this in the original, you know, storyline, that would have been the seventh episode, I'm guessing. You know, so this was just kind of too early, I think, because they were letting it go.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think, I think the fifth and sixth episodes were, like, the ones with, you know.
I think more like my thought was, like, this is a way you
it felt more appropriate?
Well, you could make Amy die and therefore have higher stakes for the other, like, characters for just that episode. Like, because, like,
ooh,
I said,
that would have been dark.
Like I said, as soon as Amy turned into that doll, I knew it didn't matter. And
right.
I'm trying to, I guess I was trying to figure out a way to make it, like, so me, as someone who's watched a lot of TV and knows those tropes, like, I'm not worried about Amy dying.
Right.
But if I knew she was a goo person, like,
yeah.
then maybe they could have had where she turns into goo and then all of a sudden another Amy is waiting at the TARDIS or something.
Right.
And then Rory has to deal with the fact that he's got a clone wife and he feels weird about it.
Well, I think they just wanted to have a happy ending because remember we saw everyone else went back. The guy went back to his bulldog.
I know.
The lady went back to her trash.
I know.
We
I
didn't
know.
See all the other dolls. I assume they were, you know, they were there longer. And
true.
You know, it was kind of like at the blip at the.
Yeah, they show one shows up in an apartment and so it's already been sublet out to someone else because she abandoned it.
Or, wait, what are you doing in my place?
And but no, I because, and I thought that I think mainly because neither of the parents or the little boy were turned into a doll. Like, so, like, they could have, like, killed that jerky landlord and that weird old woman. Like, they could have.
Sure. It's still a kid's show, though.
I know.
No.
Never mind.
That's okay. No, those were kind of interesting thoughts.
Kind of.
Yeah. No, I just think, like, in the grand scheme of things, they kept it where it needed to be.
Okay.
You know, I remember, like, talking in the last episode. It's like, here they had to, like, do some little ADR tweaks.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like, oh, well, thank goodness that you are human again. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
You know, but again, that's, you didn't see the doctor actually speaking it. You just kind of see, like, yeah. Amy and Rory just kind of, like, nodding. Uh-huh.
And instead of flashing at the very end to, like, the doctor's death date on the screen, it would have been, like, Amy pregnant, not pregnant, pregnant, not pregnant.
Right,
like,
yeah.
It did in blip, earlier blip, episodes. Blip, 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 blip.
Yeah, because yeah. I think they originally, I think they even filmed it where they had the patch lady in there again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that wasn't really worthwhile.
That's okay. And that's what Steve wanted to bring up from the last episode.
Okay.
So if you like this new thing, please write in and let us know.
No,
hey,
I
Steve, how do people write
things.
Into us anyway?
Then I have to think of more things.
Well, from, like, prior episodes.
Yeah, maybe this will be the outtake.
Well, hey, Steve, how can people contact us?
Oh, they can email Gmail.
Email Gmail?
Okay, I'm going to do a take two.
No.
They're going to email drunkterwho@gmail.com or reach out on Twitter @drunkterwho or @srdollin. Yeah, you can just let us know. And if you do, like, follow us on Twitter, just let us know and we'll follow you back unless you're, like, a horrible, like, racist person or something.
We probably still follow them back.
Yeah, just,
but then we block them.
And then mute them.
Right, exactly. Hey, Steve.
Yes?
Earlier I brought up the title of this episode called The Girl Who Waited.
Oh, shit.
All right, not really remembering what we talked about last episode, which you probably do, because you say you do remember sometimes.
I don't think I do at all.
Actually. I'm going to give you 20 words to describe what you think this episode is going to be about. I'm not going to cut you off at 20. Begin now.
Just 20 words?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. For some reason, I was thinking seconds.
No, Steve, you only have 20 minutes to explain what this episode's about.
That's all?
Yeah, well, I know it's tough. And begin now.
Amy gets trapped in TARDIS bubble, has to wait out the end of the known universe for Doctor and Rory. I don't know. I did it in 20 words.
Well, you were better with the fingering than I was. I'm like watching. I'm like, I was just like keeping you up to that. I'm like, yep, yeah, Steve's got it down.
Well, I know that you have trouble because sometimes you count syllables.
Right, yeah. But you actually know what you know words you're using.
Yeah.
You know, your big words.
Like Amy.
And yeah. And I didn't
TARDIS.
Like. Right. And it's like, and I was going to be a dick and count.
So now what, John?
All right, Steve.
What do we do, goddammit?
Hey, Steve.
Lead us.
We're gonna have a shot.
Okay.
Because it's our Drunk to Who shot of the episode, yep. Steve. And which, you know, and well, I was gonna say I provided the alcohol, but you actually provided the alcohol. It's still that fancy 1900 or whatever.
Oh, so it's not the cinnamon whiskey you bought?
No. Oh, I liked that.
Okay.
There's none of that left.
Oh, okay.
We did it once by you, and it's gone now.
It was
a little tasty.
It wasn't a really big bottle, so. Did you at least buy apple cider and mix it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I just kind of would like, just like, this is the kind of shot I don't have to, like, wash my mouth out afterwards with, like, something that doesn't taste as I.
You're like an old lady who has, like, a sherry before bed in, like, a Jane Austen novel or something. You just had a little nip of cinnamon whiskey.
Yes. Oh, yes. Isn't this delightful?
While I watch Child's Play 4.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, hey, Steve.
Yes.
You provided the booze, and now you're going to provide the shot, the toast.
Yes.
So.
Take a piss!
Take a piss!
I'm out of beer.
I gave you water.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Steve. I appreciate that you've, like, taken from my favorite movie, Defending Your Life.
Take a piss!
Take a piss!
Like, now I'm just doing that for the benefit of your neighbors.
How is that topical? This movie's like, what, like almost 30 years old?
Almost. It's from 91. Heidi and I watched it last night, so we decided to watch it.
Well, thank you for listening up to this point, people. We're going to watch an episode of Doctor Who.
We're going to watch The Girl Who Waited?
We're going to watch The Girl Who Waited. I wonder who that girl is.
What
could
was
it
the,
be
what
Amy the, Pond?
Maybe. What was... Oh, yeah, you're right. I did Amy Pond both times. I should have done River Song for one of them. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's like the girl who waited refers to like young Amelia Pond.
Perhaps.
Maybe. Or young... What the fuck was her friend's name who turned out to be River Song?
Mels. Or maybe it could be like the doctor's daughter. She's been waiting several series to come back.
I know you said that we never see her again, but like I would have liked to have seen her again.
The doctor every morning when she gets up and fucks him. Because she married David Tennant, sorry.
Okay. I was about to say, like...
Sorry.
What the fuck happened? What are you doing? What is wrong with you?
Well, she was also... Her dad is a doctor, too. Because Peter Davidson...
Oh, that's right. Oh, Jesus.
It's her father.
These are coming back to me. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been, like, several series.
So she's literally and...
She's
and
royalty.
Canonically the doctor's daughter.
She's the doctor's daughter doctor's daughter.
She would make, like, Doctor Who convention explode.
Well, look at her.
So we've been talking for almost 20 minutes.
Well, you're going to edit it down.
I know, but I still would like to move on.
All right. So, hey.
Also, my beer's empty.
All right. Patreon listeners, please.
Patreon? What are you talking about?
If you've liked this, please, like, you know, give us an extra
5 points
towards Gryffindor.
What?
And if you dislike it, take 10 points off Slytherin.
Take it and shove it up your sorting hat.
And at the end of the series, then we'll compile of the points.
No.
We will have, like, a spreadsheet.
We do not
that
have
shows
a Patreon.
Us exactly where we were at this point.
Usually
Hufflepuff loses.
You make a joke about premium subscribers and not Patreon. Why are you going for a real thing now?
You know, our premium Patreon subscribers.
No.
You know, like, if the Hufflepuff winners, like, come through again.
Just let's be done.
You know, wait, what's the other I left out? Ravenclaw. Squibs. I'm a Ravenclaw. How could I leave that out?
Squibs.
I'm an actual Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
No, Squibs. Squibs can go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
We ain't Squibs.
They're not the only ones who can go fuck themselves.
Well.
Let's be done.
We'll see you on the other side, peeps.
Bye.
Bye. See, we just finished watching an episode of Doctor Who.
Yes.
What'd you think?
That I was a little bit right. Amy was stuck in a time bubble apart from Rory and the Doctor.
True.
And they had to rescue her.
Yeah.
But that time bubble was like a planet, was it Appalachia?
Appalachiani, got it. Yeah, sure.
Appalachian?
Yeah.
Kind of like the mountains in along
True.
The east coast of the U.S. Yeah, it was a good episode. Although, again, like, it's like, I know young Amy's not gonna die. Like, we talked about this last time with the Night Terrors. It's like, I know she's not gonna die, so it's like...
But what if they actually brought old Amy on there and then they, like, put her somewhere else?
Put her out to pasture somewhere?
Well, not put her out to pasture, but now you have, like, two... I mean, look at,
She's a woman over 60. She has no use to society anymore. Let's find a place for her.
Look at Star Trek Next Generation. There was, like, a whole episode where...
I've never watched that.
Where Riker, number two, he had a cologne out there that,
cologne?
There was like some weird thing where there was like a transporter thing.
No,
yada,
it just sounded
yada.
Like you said cologne.
A duplicate.
Like he had a scent. He had a perfume. Like,
well, you know,
it sounded like you said cologne.
That musky beard of his. Yes. I'm sure it had a scent all its own.
Yes.
But like there was a duplicate of Riker out there.
Okay.
And so they actually he had his own separate timeline. I guess the duplicate of Riker was on Deep Space Nine and became a terrorist.
Oh wow!
I know, okay. Right? So like. They could have dropped old Amy off on a different planet somewhere.
They could have.
You know, like they
did with Rose and gifted her the clone of the Doctor.
But an old clone of the Doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, here's Handy Doctor, because, you know, you'd like a little hand.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
So
I thought that was a possibility.
Yeah, so what happened on this episode, Steve?
So, they decide to go to... Like, it opens abruptly. Like, there's no previously on, no nothing. It opens straight to them going, we're going to Appalachia, Appalachian, whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a whole thing of like Appalachia, Appahuva?
Yeah,
Appalachia, Appalapalupadupadu.
And so like, hey, we're this is the most amazing. It's the number two destination for tourists in the galaxy.
Because you don't want to go to number one.
Amy's like, why aren't we going to number one? And he's like, it's all coffee shops. And it's like, yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
like I totally get that.
True.
As soon as like, Heidi and I. Before she moved in with me, when we were still dating, my wife, there was a place.
Sorry, I just had a
sip. No, no, it's okay. I was only talking about, you know.
about when you met your wife.
And you were just being like, blah, let's bring the attention back to Johnny.
I brought a variety pack of beer, and we're drinking the dark beer now.
From Lakefront Brewery, we've gotten down to the dark lager, and neither of us are big fans of stouts.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyway, sorry, Heidi and I, her old neighborhood, like a place that we always wanted to go for brunch was, but was always too crowded. It was all of a sudden like voted like the best brunch in Chicago.
And you can never go there.
And it's
now.
Like, oh, now there's a line around the block. And it's like, well, there's a place that's pretty good that was across the street that we would just go like right into. And it was fine. Like, it's like, how good could those eggs be? You know, like. So anyway, I totally understand what the doctor was saying with like the number one tourist destination was like all coffee shops.
I was wondering where we were going with that, and then I remembered.
I went with that, but then you interrupted me to grumble about the stout. So
it's the beer I brought. So
yeah. What were we talking about?
The doctor's like, here we're number two. Yeah. There's like bridges, and it's like it's fascinating. It's beautiful.
Sunsets. Mountains and forests and all this shit.
And Rory opens the door. Awesome.
And it's a sterile white room with another door.
Right.
Like an elevator door.
And he was like, oi, where's my phone? Oi.
And he's like, what, do you want to post this on Twitter? And she's like, asshole, you just said how amazing this is to see. I want to take a couple pictures.
There's my camera.
Yeah, there's a camera on my phone. So
and he's like, yeah, okay, like, whatever. Fine.
And then he said it's on the shelf with the DVDs. And I'm like, oh, so it is dated. A camera phone isn't dated, but a shelf of DVDs. Although, I still buy Blu-rays.
Well, but he didn't say DVDs. Well. He didn't say Blu-rays. He said DVDs.
That's true.
It's a different thing, Steve.
I know. I still buy physical media.
But then the doctor and Rory, like, they push the green button and go through. And then, like, Amy comes like, oi, where you at? Push the button. She pushes the red button.
Yeah. And it's why? Like, it's more like, why did they not wait for her? Like, she was just going to get her phone. Why did they push the button and go through the door?
Well, I don't think they realized that it would be, like, different.
Then the door would close.
All right.
And once the door closed, why don't you go back outside? That's what Amy did. Amy, as soon as she went in the room and she noticed that they weren't there, she's like, okay, well, I'll go back out in the hall. And, oh, wait, no.
No, that was Rory.
No, that was Amy.
No, Amy didn't go out in the hall.
I thought Amy went out in the hall.
I don't know.
We should watch it again.
All right.
All right, whatever.
And we watched it again. Steve's wrong.
No, you're wrong. Amy went out and she pushed the green button and went back in, and they weren't there because she had already advanced like a week. So then she went back out and pushed the red button, and then she went back into her same room.
No, that's what Rory did.
Nope, you're wrong.
Rory actually pushed the red button. No, Rory went out in the hall, pushed the red button. He's like, Amy's not here. So then he pushed the green button. I was thinking the doctor wouldn't be there when he went back. But then he did, and the doctor was still there. Because Amy's already cruising on a different timeline.
Anyway, either way, the doctor and Rory decide to not wait for Amy, and they go in the room. And then Amy just pushes the wrong button, because there's two choices. So, of course, she chooses the wrong one.
Well, because she's a redhead, and she chose the red button.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it said waterfall instead of whatever the
green Well, she was. Had a red waterfall, so she's like, I'm a ginger mullet girl.
No, she doesn't have a mullet. And that's a Kentucky waterfall, is a mullet.
Oh. I had one of those in the 80s. Everyone did.
I did.
Kind of. Well, maybe not a mullet, but I had long hair.
I
could grow hair.
I had shaggy hair, but it was long on the top and in the back. I'm just trying to remember what we were talking about.
Let's just assume titles happened.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're split up in the different, like, time elevator. The elevator of the time banks, or the elevator bank of time. I don't know.
The doctor realized,
just in different places.
Right. He sees like a little spyglass in the middle of both rooms.
Oh, yeah.
So the green timeline is like current time. And since they're in like a hospital, sort of.
It's almost hospice.
It's sort of like watching your person die like over time. They're held in a stasis.
There's the Gen 7 plague.
Yes.
Which kills people in 24 hours, but only people with two hearts. So the doctor has to stay in this room, or he has to stay in the TARDIS.
Yes.
But Amy and Rory are fine. But
because they have one heart.
The AI program that runs this place doesn't know that. Which is insane, because it's for medical reasons. Why wouldn't it be able to detect, you know, why can't it scan them and see they have one heart?
Especially when it knows that there are multiple races in the galaxy.
Yes.
That it's not like it's a...
It's a flawed system.
It's not a pre-first contact world.
Yeah.
You know, before Zefram Cochrane. What? Star Trek reference, sorry.
Is that James Cromwell? And
yes.
Okay. That was a good movie. I remember seeing that movie a long, long time ago.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
Oink, oink, bitch.
So it's assumed like we had some opening credits.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they determined
that. It was written by a guy whose name I recognize, but you'll talk about it later.
Really?
Maybe.
I didn't think it was that important.
Oh, I don't know. I just assumed he's written other Doctor Who episodes.
This is his third.
Okay, so that's why I recognize his name. Whatever.
Really? Okay, cool.
I don't remember it. I just recognized it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what it is now.
Well, I think you were like confusing with Gordon McRae, who was,
trying.
He's Dixie Carter's real husband, and he was also a Simon and Simon guy.
Oh.
He was the older Simon.
Okay. Gerald McRaney, you mean.
All right, well, that destroyed my whole concept of life.
You're talking about Major Dad, Gerald McRaney.
Oh, that wasn't Gordon McRae?
No, and he was married to Delta Burke, not the other...
Not Dixie Carter.
Not Dixie Carter.
See, I've, like, started a whole new timeline,
dude,
Steve.
Dude, what did you do?
Well, but it's funny you kind of, like, kind of sort of understood where I was going with it, though.
Yes, enough to correct you.
You took all the wrong shit and, like, made it righter.
I guess.
Yeah, so Amy's old... Doctor and Rory aren't.
Well, Amy gets... She starts wandering around this place. Even though the doctor says, stay where you are, she wanders around this place.
She's Amy.
I know. And she's like, okay, whatever. I'm stuck on my own. I'm gonna...
He told her to stay away from the handbots.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, go out in the room.
And so she does. And then she finds herself in this, like, garden, which is like a simulated garden. And she writes on... Or she finds... Basically, and yeah, the opening credits happen at some point. But she finds herself being chased by these robots, who see through their hands. And they make a big deal about the hands.
Well, they're sensors.
Yeah.
It's like they sense stuff through the hands. And then she hides in some sort of like updraft thing that hides her.
Yeah, steam is coming through the floor, and there's light. And so it turns out later on we find like it's a temporal vent or something.
Right, because so that the people who are in the current timeline can watch their family die slowly or whatever.
It sounds so wrong. Watch their family die slowly.
Yeah, well, it is.
No, it's basically like, hey, you have 24 hours to live, but we're going to make it feel like you have like 50 years to live.
Yeah, it's like, not like a Christmas special or anything.
It's temporal hospice.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so then because of that, then so she said that's why she went to go live in the engine room.
Yeah, yeah.
So when she's in the engine room, then the handbots can't really find her.
But at one point she writes on the door, Doctor, I'm waiting for you here or something.
Yeah, which I'm like, what did she write with? And then later it came back into play. She used lipstick.
She had lipstick.
And so then when she had like lipstick, when old Amy meets Rory, and she's like, I'm going to put on that pretty face that he likes. And then she's like, no.
Was she? Or?
Oh, she pulled out the lipstick. When he was talking to the doctor, and then she puts it away.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so old Amy, like, you know, then meets up with young Rory.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Or current time Rory. I wouldn't say young Rory.
Yeah, so the doctor basically uses the bosonic screwdriver to zap things so that the giant magnifying glass, looking glass thing can always see Amy, or is locked onto Amy's time stream.
Yeah.
And so they go looking for her, they end up finding her, and they find out that she is now old. She has been living on her own for 36 years.
Because this incarnation of the Doctor is a shite driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she...
That's why...
She still loves Rory, and she hates the Doctor.
Can you blame her?
No.
And they also explain, because remember when she was like, It's like when they first went in the room, she says, I've been here for a week.
Yeah.
And he's like, why, aren't you hungry? She goes, no, I'm not. Because, again, there's like a temporal thing.
Yeah.
So basically, you say that, then why did she age?
I know. Because she's not eating and using the bathroom. Like, so she doesn't, I mean, I assume, she doesn't need to eat. Her body doesn't need fuel. So why does her body age?
Yeah, it was a little weird.
It is really weird.
Was she wearing the same clothes? I remember at one point thinking, I wonder if she's wearing the same clothes, and then promptly forgot.
I think she was wearing the same pants.
Okay. Yeah, because she wasn't shitting her pooping.
She had some armor on. I don't know. But yeah, she definitely...
Where'd she get the sword from?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. She made a sonic screwdriver. Maybe she...
it's a probe, Steve.
A sword.
It's a probe.
Yeah. So she... Oh, Jesus. I'm losing it.
Well, so Amy, let's just say old Amy and yeah. Amy.
Yeah.
So old Amy now is like, you know, in there. And old Amy's like, you left me 36 years plus 36 years, 3 months, 2 days. And it's like, I waited.
So how old is Amy normally?
Mid-20s? I'm guessing she's like mid-20s.
Mid to late-20s.
So she's about 60.
Okay.
You know, so that means Rory's mid-20s.
Okay.
You know, I always thought maybe he was like a year older.
But he's like a nurse. Like, he's been to university. He's been to medical school, nursing school, so.
Well, she's been to the school of, like, traveling around the world and around the universe.
And also stripogram, or kissogram.
Kissogram. There was no stripping involved, Steve.
No, she was just wearing skimpy clothes to kiss a dude.
Yeah, so old Amy.
Yes.
Is, like, bitter. And, well, like, bringing young Amy around, you know, it's like, so, like, but now, like, the doctors managed to kind of synchronize so that everybody can talk at the same time.
Well, yeah, there's the magic MacGuffin of the looking glass, the mirror magnifying glass looking thing, so.
And so the doctor's, like, on the TARDIS because he don't want to die.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, he sent Rory out with, like, magic glasses, so now he can, like...
GoPro glasses.
Yeah, GoPro glasses, basically. Yeah. And so, you know, it's like, hey, old Amy, help us get back so that young Amy doesn't have to become you. And old Amy's like...
Fuck you.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I have a valid life I've been living.
Yeah.
Like, I've been living it for 36 years, so just... You know, why don't you just leave me the fuck alone? And they're like, yeah, but you could do this other thing. You could sacrifice yourself for a younger you. And she's like, but I'm not younger me now. Like, I am the me that is here because I've had 36 years of living. And yeah, I mean.
But wait, talk to your young self. So there was like a whole like thing of like young Amy talking to old Amy or
kind
of,
yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like, Rory.
They did add this thing where she's like, oh, I remember that. Old Amy's like, I remember this. And young Amy did not, obviously, because it's happening to young Amy for the first time. So they did that lampshade thing of...
Well, it's funny where, like, old Amy's like, yeah, I remember doing this, but, like, you said no, but now you're saying yes. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's timey-wimey.
She maybe should have said, like, I don't remember this. Because remember when we had the Christmas episode... With Michael Gambon.
I just made a reference to it before. You missed it.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, we were just kind of like, oh, you know, if you could, like, watch the person die and all, you know, you're watching them die over like, years or something. I'm like, that's why I'm like, yeah, like, not like a Christmas special or anything.
Oh, I totally
No, that's okay.
That.
But anyway, with Michael Gambon, with Dumbledore.
Yes, where he talked to his younger self and he was basically like, fuck you, younger self, and all that. It was kind of similar.
Well, then, so young Amy convinces older Amy to help.
Oh, yeah, the episode.
And then older Amy's like, yeah. And then young Amy's like, oh, I don't remember it going this way. Awesome. So then the doctor does some sort of thing where he manages to calibrate where
he says, oh, we're going to, like, do this to the TARDIS. And, like, we'll take out the karaoke bar of the TARDIS. And then we can handle the paradox. The time paradox.
But he still manages, like, so that Rory... can see, like, both Amy's if he's looking through the looking glass thing.
Yeah, but then...
Because so, they're like, occupying the same space.
Then he makes it so they basically both show up.
Yeah, it's like, you gotta fight through, come to the TARDIS.
So, because all three of them, two Amy's and a Rory, are running around.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, old Amy has said, I hate you to the doctor. Like, I hate you so much. And then, yeah, young Amy and older Amy bond over their affection for Rory and how he came back and said he was in a rock band and then he had to make it so he learned guitar.
Yeah.
To fake that lie.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good, like, let's build on this thing that's, you know, it's plausible. It's ridiculous, but it's also plausible because we know the characters and we know Rory would be desperate to impress Amy. And Amy was like, there was all these good looking guys who were coming after me, but it was always just came back to Rory.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, all these like beautiful people. And it's like, they're beautiful. Sure. Great to look at. But like Rory.
Yeah. And I do, like I said before, I really enjoy the dynamic between the two.
I also.
And you could totally see the Rory being like, oh, my wife is much older, but she's still hot, and I don't know what to do, because it's also my wife, and I don't want to hurt her. And
he was like, ooh, and you use that katana so nice. Yeah. Sexy time. And like at one point they kiss, and you know, I wonder if it was like on his head. It's like kissing my mother-in-law, but sexier.
Although Amy's parents are dead, right?
Oh, that's right. Whoa, no. Remember, they fixed that timeline, though.
Oh, it's so weird.
His in-laws are actually living at this point.
Oh, weird. Yeah, because I remember the first season she was on, it was she was staying with her aunt because her parents were dead.
Right, but then they fixed the whole thing with the crack.
Yeah, but that's so weird.
And the doctor never existed. Okay. So and then Rory and Amy were getting married. And then it's like, think about the doctor, and they willed him back into existence.
Yeah, that was when I predicted that the doctor would reboot the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I remember, that Steve predicted it. Uh-huh. I was right.
I'm having a sip of beer.
But
no, it's gross beer.
So, so here, it's, I don't know, it's all that timey-wimey shit. Like, yeah. Because the doctor had no problem rebooting the universe, and making it so Amy's parents didn't die, but I guess older Amy was the problem in making it so Amy was never left behind.
Right.
I guess that was the hindrance in this episode. So
you know, at one point where older Amy is like, I'm going to help, but you've got to take us both.
Mm.
And the doctor's like, okay, sure. Don't look me right in the eyes because you'll see I'm lying. And what's the thing? The doctor always lies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, like,
that was, you know, that was a rule in the Let's Kill Hitler episode, right?
Oh, the doctor always lies. Yeah. That's a thing. So, yeah. So, old Amy, young Amy, Rory are brought together in, like, one time stream. The doctor, it's like because, like, Rory had to cross the streams, but don't touch the yellow one. Push the
There was a lot of, like, rewiring and shit.
Yeah.
And then the doctor was like, you have 10 minutes, and then I might go away. And then the glasses fall, and they short out, and the doctor's basically, like, cut off from them. And he's like, oh, you have 8 minutes left, Rory. I hope you make it or something.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, both Amy's and Rory are just running back for the TARDIS, and they end up in this place where...
well, it's that room where, like, the TARDIS showed with, like, the art, where the Mona Lisa's there.
Like, the gallery or
whatever. The gallery. So, like, you know, so young Amy is, like, walking in there, and she gets, like, here, do not mind, this is a kindness. And she gets, like, anesthetized.
Oh, and the doctor very early in the episode said, their kindness will kill you.
Oh, yeah. Don't let the kindness kill you. Because the kindness will kill them because they're not the right flavor people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the right flavored people. Yes. They're lemon lime and they need chocolate.
Lemon sherbet.
Mm.
And then, so then Amy gets knocked out. Picks her up. Young Amy gets knocked out. Rory picks her up, brings her into the TARDIS.
Is like running with her.
Right.
And older Amy is like behind them and looking at them.
I'm there. I'm going to like kill all the, you know, hand bots that are here. And then like, you know, so young Amy and
Rory
get
inside. Where did she get that sword?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway, sorry.
Well, she crafted it out of, like, pieces of old
maybe
hand
it
bots.
Was part. Well, maybe it was one of the museums. Like, they had the Mona Lisa in one. Maybe in the other one there was, a katana.
Or there were different, like, remember there were different, like, places they could go to? So maybe...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, you know, because there was, like, cinema, and there was, like...
Oh, my God, I thought you were going to say Cinnabon. It's like they were at the mall.
Well, maybe she got to go to maybe there was
there was a Sam Goody where they could buy laser discs.
Well, there was an old timey art fair where she can go and craft her own sword.
Oh yeah,
and that's what she did there.
They went to the Renaissance Fair,
the Ren Fair, and Appalachian Capica, and so old Amy's like, I got your back, and then so Rory and young Amy got in there, and the doctor blocked it. Because she's like, I'm coming. And he locked it in her fucking face.
Yeah. So the doctor basically proved oh yeah, she hates me and she has good reason.
And then Rory's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, you don't understand. This will melt the TARDIS. But you know what? I leave it up to you.
And Rory was like, fuck you. You're turning me into you, and I don't want that. And it's like, yeah, you're right. Because the doctor makes these hard decisions where people live and die. And it's like, Rory, that's not fair to him. This is his wife. Both of them are his wife, essentially. And so he goes to actually unlock the door. And then older Amy on the outside is like, don't unlock it. If you love me, don't unlock it. Because you're more... I love you more than anything, and I want you to be happy, and you'll be happy with young me as the wife. And so, which makes sense. They get to grow old together, and that's a kindness to both of them.
It was a kindness.
But she will cease to exist, which is not a kindness.
Yeah.
But she did not exactly have a happy life. She didn't like it. She had a robot that she cut the hands off of and reprogrammed and dubbed Rory. It's just, she didn't name it the doctor. She didn't, as young Amy pointed out, she didn't name it the doctor. She didn't name it after their favorite cat. She named it Rory.
Mr. Biggles?
I think it was Mr. Biggles, yeah.
Oh, no, I think it was Mr. I think it was just Biggles.
Whatever. Yeah. But yeah, it was, and then there was a very emotionally affecting scene. I think you broke down. I think you cried a bit.
That's where it got me.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
When she's like, don't let me in. If you love me, don't let me in. Live your life with her.
Yeah.
With me and everything. And then she basically just she let the kindness envelop her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. It was just it was a strong scene. It gave Karen Gillan a chance to shine.
Oh no, she did amazing in this episode. But it was also like I said earlier, we know young Amy is not going to die. So.
Right, right. No, yeah. But you didn't know. Maybe they drop old Amy off somewhere.
That's true.
Because,
But as soon as the doctor shut the door in her face, I'm like, oh, yeah. He was lying earlier.
The doctor lies.
Yeah. He was lying earlier, and she basically let herself get knocked out by the anesthetizing robots.
Oh, yeah. And that was her kindness.
And then, yeah. She
let them come and get it. She let them come at
and
her.
And then the doctor basically started up the TARDIS, and they flew away, and old Amy ceased to exist.
Yeah, and young Amy woke up, and Rory, and it's like, and the doctor's like, wah, 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 wasn't that fun? Isn't that crazy?
And Rory earlier had a really good point. It's like, why don't you look up, why don't you read a fucking book? And if there's a plague somewhere, why don't you avoid it? And he's like, I don't work that way. He's like, maybe you should. If you're going to go to Appalachia, maybe you should say Google Appalachia diseases, Appalachia problems, and figure out if you should just go to that same place in a different time.
If you're going to Planet Library, maybe find out if there's some sort of fucking disease that's going on there.
Yes.
And then
if there's a silence in the library.
Yeah, right.
Was it silence
in the library? It was Silence in the Library. That was the title of the episode.
Yeah.
But it wasn't The Silence.
Whatever.
Not till later.
Oh, Jesus. That's right. The weird villains who were going to make no sense. With the Edward
Munch face?
We're going to make no sense.
Destroy us when you see us.
Yeah. It's like, okay, why did you have to reprogram Young River Song? Why couldn't you just force any random schmuck to walk up to the doctor and shoot him? But whatever, never mind. It is the doctor should do a little research, but then again, we wouldn't have a show.
Well, that's his thing. He's reckless.
Yeah.
The doctor is reckless.
We wouldn't have a dramatic show if the doctor actually was like, hey, you know what?
Responsible.
If I'm going to go to say, Europe. Maybe not during the Black Plague.
Or, but wait, it's so much fun in the Black
Plague. If I'm going to go to London, maybe not during the Blitz.
But I like fireworks.
Yes, I mean, it's just one of those things. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he went to London during World War II when there were Daleks. He went to London during World War II when there was empty children.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how many times has he gone? You know, it's like, I'm surprised he hasn't met himself there.
He went there when there was Daleks, when there were Nazis bombing, when there were both Nazis bombing and Daleks there.
Nazi bombing Daleks.
Yes.
Yeah, because they were on our side at the time.
I guess.
Yeah, so he's like, I'm the doctor, and you're Daleks. Oh, testimony received. Come meet my colorful friends.
So, like a lot of Doctor Who episodes, I guess it just ends and everything's fine. Like, what happened just doesn't really matter, and maybe we'll be referenced again? Who knows?
Who knows, Steve? Who knows?
Yes.
Yeah. So, in this episode...
Yes.
There wasn't really a whole that much going on, really.
No, there weren't a lot of... there were no guest stars except for, like, the voice of the robots.
Or the
AI, like, interface.
Right. This is the shortest cast list of all New Who's. Because we had the three leads.
Yeah.
There was the check-in girl.
Oh, yeah, the video.
And then the interface voice. Now, like, there was also the voice of the handbots. I didn't see anything on the voice of the handbots.
Well, it was a robotic voice. It might have just been like where, you know, Star Wars will just use Ben Burt, the sound guy.
Right, but then Ben Burt gets credit, though.
Yeah, there's no credit. Okay.
Okay. But, okay.
Maybe it was a synthesized voice.
Did you realize this was a Dr. Light episode?
Yeah.
You thought about it, or you're like, now that I bring it up?
I don't know which. Let's assume I didn't really realize that until you brought it up and made me think about it. Yeah, you're right. It was Dr. Light.
Yeah, it was Karen Gillan heavy.
Oh, she played two roles.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
Did her old age makeup look pretty good?
Yeah, it did. It did, because it was like when you were far back, you couldn't really tell, but when you went in close, you're just like, oh yeah, she aged. Right. It's not like...
it was subtle.
Yeah, it's not like the when you look at the old age makeup that like the Back to the Future cast had for Back to the Future 2, and then you look at actual pictures of them in the same year of 2017, it's like, oh no, they aged much better than their old age makeup.
Right. Well, yeah. Like,
Karen Gillan, it was kind of subtle.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of puffed her up a little bit.
They puffed her up a bit and put in some wrinkles. Yeah. But like
forehead lines. Because she's got some good forehead.
It wasn't like she was like doddering and ancient, you know?
They were considering getting like an actress portray her older. Mm-hmm. But she's like, no, let's just make it so it's her.
36 years. So she's what? In her early to mid 60s. Yeah. Like it's not. Yeah.
Right. No.
Like you're 98 years old right now and you don't look a day over 70.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've, like, moisturized to, like, you know, so that, like, my jowls only hang down to my balls.
Okay.
You know, so thank you for noticing, Steve.
You must cause quite a wind if you shake your head no.
People are like, wait, why are John's balls, like, flapping like that?
Oh, sorry. His jowls.
My waddle.
His face testicles.
I'm like a crow. What? I don't know. Well, this is also a lower budget episode.
Definitely.
You know, the writer wrote it so it was all white sets. You know, like the little interface things and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. You know, clearly, you know, they went to some, you know, engine room somewhere.
Yeah.
And I guess like where the vent. Well, the check-in lady showed up first. Yeah. I guess that was the set, or that's like a place where they had the new Earth like original hospital. Check-in.
Oh.
I don't even know if, like, you know, I'd be surprised if he remembered.
That was a couple seasons ago. I don't really remember.
Like five.
Was that Martha's first season?
New Earth? Who knows?
Or was that Rose's first season with David Tennant?
I think it was Rose.
Yeah, that sounds... With the cat ladies. The cat nuns.
Nun cats.
Whatever. Nun cats.
Nun cats.
I had a set of nun cats when I was a kid, but I accidentally bopped myself in the face.
Voice of the interface was actually somebody. Did it sound familiar at all?
No, but I'm going to guess Sigourney Weaver because she does a lot of voiceover.
She's good, wasn't her? If I like give you some of her movies.
Let's try. Go ahead.
Okay. I wrote down, Ang Lee's Sense and Sensibility.
Okay.
Was her first, let's say, big American release.
So.
She was also Shakespeare in Love. So. She played Nurse in Shakespeare in Love. She was.
So it's not Emma Thompson.
She was Vera Drake. That's a big clue. If you remember.
Imelda Staunton? Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wasn't Imelda Staunton Umbridge?
Yeah, she was Dolores Umbridge. Yes,
okay.
That's like who the Yanks would really know her as.
Oh, she was.
She was great.
Such an amazing villain as Dolores Umbridge.
It was funny though.
Hated her.
When they announced her as Dolores Umbridge, all the Potter fans were like, no, she's supposed to be some like giant fat lady.
See, this.
Not giant fat lady. She's supposed to be like some short fat lady.
You know, there's some James Bond fans who still hate the fact that Daniel Craig is James Bond because he's blonde. Like, yeah. It's just so dumb. Just stop. Stop getting so hung up on this shit.
Like, once you see the movie, it's like, she is Dolores Umbridge.
Oh, she was amazing, because he fucking hated her from minute one. And it's that giggle that, oh. Yeah.
That little girlish giggle.
She was so good.
She was very good.
Yeah, like, don't judge the fucking art until you've seen it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically it for, like, a little trivia stuff.
Okay.
You know what time it is now, Steve?
6:35, Sunday, p.m.
You know what salsa time for?
Oh, the random crew dude?
Steve, I've trademarked it. It's the unsung crew member of the episode.
Okay.
Today, we've chosen Marie Brown.
Okay.
She's listed as being in the editorial department.
The unsinkable Marie Brown?
No, that would be Misery.
The unsinkable Molly Brown.
Right.
And it would also be Kathy Bates. Yeah.
Yeah. Marie Brown, who is not the unsinkable Molly Brown, she is listed as being in the editorial department as post-production coordinator for this episode.
Okay.
Okay. She had earlier credits as post-production supervisor.
Oh.
Okay. She started that in 2003. And, like, her first credits with Doctor Who were actually as the post-production supervisor.
Okay.
Okay. So, this post-production coordinator... Honestly, I have no idea if this means that she got a bump up. Basically,
Like a coordinator and a supervisor, it sounds like it could be the same gig.
Well, she was in the first series of Doctor Who, the one with Rose and Eccleston.
Yes.
Where she was listed as a post-production supervisor for that first season. And then starting in season two, she was listed as post-production coordinator.
Okay.
And she did that all the way up through series six. So she makes it through this whole series.
All right.
Okay. And then she's no more Doctor Who.
Does she hate it?
I don't know. But like her other stuff, she also worked on the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Oh, okay.
Torchwood.
Okay.
I'm not saying she worked on the entire, like, all of that.
Yeah.
But she also worked on Da Vinci's Demons. That's another genre thing. I think they were showing that at an AMC or something.
I think it was a Cinemax or Showtime, but it could have definitely been the same production company.
Oh. And she was also Wizards versus Aliens. I think that was a Sci-Fi Channel show.
I have no idea what that is.
But her last credits were in 2013, and it didn't say she's dead. I hope you're still with us, Marie.
You know, I hope she just, like, maybe she retired. Maybe she's like, you know what, I'm going to open up a small candle shop in West Salisbury, Sanfordshire, Shire.
Well, so basically, you know, her entire CV on IMDb is 10 years. So,
she decided to, like, you know, retire early, young, and, like, maybe she's writing a novel.
She saved everything, and now she's working in the theater.
Maybe.
Well,
yeah.
Well, Marie Brown, we salute you.
We do.
Ka-tung. And I was gonna, like, we clank bottles or something.
But we can.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Steve, anybody contact them?
Yes.
Yay.
We have an email.
Sweet.
The subject is new listener.
Oh, sweet. Even sweeter.
Yes. And the message is, hi.
Hi.
I'm a new listener and I'm enjoying the podcast.
Oh, awesome.
Keep up the good work. Oh, no, sorry. Keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you.
I guess my self-loathing kind of downgraded it to good, but he actually wrote great.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thanks, listener.
I can't wait for you to get to the Day of the Doctor, which is that the 50th anniversary where they took everybody and the disgruntled B-roll footage of Christopher Eccleston?
No.
Because he didn't participate, did he? On purpose, anyway?
Do you want me to, like...
No. Okay. Don't spoil it.
The director of this episode actually directs that episode. Oh, nice. So there is a weird little connection.
Then they write, will you be including The Night of the Doctor and An Adventure in Space and Time?
I've been thinking about that.
Can you tell me what those are?
All right. Adventures in Space and Time was actually... it's actually the story of William Hartnell as the Doctor.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, so they...
When
in the 50th anniversary year,
okay,
on the BBC, they were doing kind of like Year of Doctor Who.
Is this like a prequel?
No, it's a TV movie that talks about the beginning of Doctor Who.
Okay.
And like basically encompasses the William Hartnell years, the first Doctor.
Oh, okay.
And Filch is the first Doctor.
What?
Yes.
No.
Yes, I swear to God.
Wait, not literally the first Doctor, but in this special,
the actor, he's the first Doctor. Plays Filch.
No, I know, but he's not literally the first Doctor.
Yes.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. No. This is a telemovie. This is a TV movie.
Yeah.
Based on the first like 3 years of Doctor Who.
So are we gonna? Do you want to do this?
Well, we're not far, but we're not close from it either.
No. But
because
we've
thinking, yes,
we've done all the Christmas specials.
I might have brought this up off.
Oh,
but
knows?
Like no. But like I think we should include it
if it is on the same par, if it's canon essentially, or if it's just like.
It's fun.
Not necessarily canon, but it was like aired as,
there's
an,
a connection.
As an episode. Like,
there is, it is connected.
So then why don't we do it?
We will. No.
Is it like a movie? Is it like 2 hours long or is it,
An hour and a half.
I don't know. So
yes.
Why don't we do it as just like include it like with the Christmas episodes and just, you know, as long as we can stream it or find it.
Yes.
And if we can't find it streaming, then I will figure out a way.
We'll find it. And
yes, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Does this person have a name?
Okay, hold on. So, An Adventure in Time and Space?
Yes.
What is that?
Well, that's
similar?
That's what I was just talking
about.
Oh,
The Night of the Doctor?
The Night of the Doctor. We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
I just want to like
And
keep
then
going.
Also, will you be delving into spinoffs and Classic Who? Well, we're not going to do Torchwood or Sarah Jane Chronicles because that's a lot.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe down the line somewhere, I wouldn't mind doing some Torchwood.
Maybe like
if we did Children of Earth, that'd be pretty fucking awesome.
Well,
you and I
have both watched Children. We watched Children of Earth together. We watched all of Torchwood.
Yeah.
You know.
It's got Peter Capaldi. Maybe I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I don't remember it, but the spinoffs, I don't know, maybe every once in a while, but...
Well, I never watched Sarah Jane Chronicles. That was geared more for children. I never watched it. I never watched Class. I was interested in Class, but I didn't watch
That's
it.
That's a very recent one, right?
Right. That was during the Peter Capaldi time.
Okay.
There was a spinoff, and it just, I guess it didn't do very well, but they didn't really do anything to really promote it, which is kind of sad.
Oh, okay. And also, as far as Classic Who, we did a relapse. That's what we called it, right? Where we've done one where we did, it's not an anthology. It's a compilation. What is it again?
Well, it was just a classic one with like 3 to 4 episodes. And it was, the assassination or something.
The trial of the Doctor?
Yeah, something. Where,
something like that.
Yeah, it was like, you know, Tom Baker's Doctor was like in the middle of like, you know, he just dumped one of his companions is like about to get a different companion. But like
I was thinking, he was between companions.
Yes, I was thinking because a friend of the show, Tim, had recommended a couple episodes, and I think I chose that one of the ones he recommended. And I think like your thing was like keep between 3 and 4 episodes, which would be say no more than an hour or so. I was thinking I would like to see Genesis of the Daleks. That's a 6-episode one, though.
So why don't we do that for our next relapse? Because the relapse was we watched the Deadly Assassin.
Deadly Assassin.
Okay, sorry, I had to look it up.
Assassination or something.
No. So we watched the Deadly Assassin, the Tom Baker, like, 4-episode set, whatever it was. So, yeah, you said Genesis of the Daleks?
Yeah, we might be doing, you know, if it's like 6 episodes, maybe we'll do it as a 2-parter. Who knows?
Because that is definitely, the Genesis of the Daleks is definitely one that...
You gave me the book.
Podcast, oh, I did?
Yeah, years ago, you like found, like, you were in some like used bookstore somewhere, and you gave me the novelization of Genesis of the Daleks. I'm like, that's even before we were doing the podcast.
Oh, I'm just that... Nice.
You know, it was very sweet.
I don't remember, but
okay. It was very sweet. I read the book. Mm. So
anyway, maybe we can do that because I know Tim, I think, has talked about a podcast intern, a friend of the show, San Diego Comic-Con correspondent, Tim, has mentioned, I think.
Comic correspondent pod.
Yeah, has mentioned Genesis of the Daleks. So maybe we'll do that. And just to finally cut it off, he's like, thanks for reading. Sincerely, Thomas.
Hey, Thomas.
So, thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas. Now, okay, so Night of the Doctor.
Okay.
Okay, because he brought that up also.
Yeah.
Yes, we will be definitely watching that.
Is that like a Christmas episode type thing? Is it a special akin to a Christmas episode?
Okay, no, it's more related to what Tom brought up is related to like the anniversary, the... What is 50 years? The diamond anniversary of Doctor Who.
It's not the golden.
No, I think. Oh, golden is 70. I think diamond is 75. My bad. You're right. The golden anniversary of Doctor Who, which was the 50 years. There was, again, BBC did a bunch of specials that year, of which the other one with Filch as William Hartnell.
Okay.
And then also this was leading up to the 50th anniversary special. It's a one-off small one, which we will watch, which will delight me to no end, which to you may not mean a whole lot.
Okay. Wait, is it a small one? Do you mean like it's a regular episode, or is it like a short, like 5 minutes?
It's a short. It's like a 5-minute short.
5 to 10 minutes.
Which was like just like sprung on people. Okay. People had like no idea. Suddenly, it was online. Everybody lost. Let's just say like everybody who was like a classic Who... watcher also lost their shit. So and where it was like everyone's just kind of like, all right, Stephen, you've brought us
Stephen Moffat,
not you, Stephen Moffat. All right, you do love Doctor Who, you know Doctor Who.
So
he kind of bridged.
Would we include this as like a special part of like the Day of the Doctor episode? Like, is it
yes?
Okay, so like we'll watch that, we'll talk about it, and then we'll break, and then we'll go watch.
I think so.
The Night of the Doctor. Because I think we did that with like one of the Red Nose specials with like Peter Davison meeting David Tennant. Dr. Tennant is what I was about to say.
You know, I'm assuming the 50th anniversary episode of our episode will probably be a longer one anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like, you know, we'll talk, we'll do. Yeah, they'll be watching. I think it's like there's like a 5-minute thing, which will probably entail me explaining why this is cool.
Probably.
But like, no, I always thought like we'd include it anyway.
Okay, cool. So yeah, hopefully that answers the questions that I had no idea how to answer.
So we got Tom. Thank you, Tom. So, that was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas.
So yeah.
I'm over familiarizing myself.
I know.
Anyway, no, Thomas.
The spinoffs, we're probably not going to, like, do a full, like, we're not going to do, like, Torchwood.
Like, if we're going to do any of them, it might be Torchwood.
But we're not going to do, like, every episode, I don't think.
No.
So.
I mean, we may have to, like, run out of Doctor Who, but we're only, like, in Series 6.
If we catch up, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Thank you, Thomas.
Yes, thank you, Thomas. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Hey, Steve.
Yes.
We're about to end, but first...
Oh, we need to end soon.
What? The next episode we're going to watch...
Oh, shit, there's another one.
Series 6, Episode 11...
Oh,
episode goes to 11, Steve.
We're almost done with the season. We're close to the end.
We're close. Yeah. We're going to watch The God Complex, Steve.
The what?
So, The God Complex.
Oh, okay.
All right, Steve, not like describing your life. What is The God Complex about? Yeah,
that's not me at all, but okay. So, The God Complex, I'm just remembering the David Tennant, Nobody Dies Today, where he's Dr. Victorious.
Where he was like, you mean Waters from Mars?
Yeah, Dr. Triumphant or Dr. Because
no
Victorious
one dies, you know, it's like everybody lives today. That was Eccleston also.
So the God Complex is the doctor gets, you don't want to put any like restrictions on me?
No, just yabber on, Steve.
Okay, we haven't seen Daleks yet this season. We're going to fucking see Daleks. Because you told me a long time ago that we have to see Daleks at least once per season. In order for, like, some weird trademark rules. What?
It's never been, like, you know, it's never actually been...
Established? Officially?
No, you know, never been officially acknowledged.
Okay. Anyway, so, yeah, the doctor, we're gonna find Daleks. They run into, let's say, the multicolored Daleks of the World War II episode...
Victory of the Daleks.
Victory of the Daleks.
Those were called the Paradigm Daleks. I don't know why.
They run into the Paradigm Daleks because it's a time paradigm. Paradox.
If you're going to give me a Paradigm Dalek, Steve, give me a green one.
Didn't I already give you one?
No, you gave me a green one that was like army green.
Oh, the World War II. I did give you a World
Actually,
War II.
Actually, I have a red Dalek. I think that is my bottle opener. Oh, so yeah. I have a red Paradigm Dalek.
Okay. So anyway, the doctor, they're traveling. He's traveling through time and space. He's basically trying to make Amy and Rory forget. So he's trying to take them to a vacation destination planet.
The God Complex?
Yes. Of
maybe like is it like Thor and stuff are there?
Wait, what? Thor?
Wait, Thor's a god.
Oh yeah.
It's like where they all get together. It's almost like a timeshare. Is it the timeshare complex of the gods? Steve, tell me more.
I'm trying. Yeah. Oh my God. What was I talking about?
That Rory and Amy were like, and the doctor were going to a planet somewhere for like, like vacation. Cause like he brought them to this like Appalachia Kapukapuka, and like, no, that was not a very good vacation.
It was because, a bad vacation.
You know, at the very least, Amy was there for at least a week, and it was a dreadful week.
Yeah.
Rory was there for like 40 minutes, and it's kind of like, this is the worst 40 minutes I've ever spent.
They're at the year.
I saw my wife old. That's just wrong.
Yeah, they're at the year 493,755.
All right, so what numbers were those? And like I assume those are White Sox players.
No, it was the number of...
I realized...
The number of home runs hit by Lou Gehrig, and then the number of home runs hit by Hank Aaron.
I knew it was fucking baseball. Because I was like re-listening. I was listening to an episode, and like you made these one numbers. I'm like... You referenced in a different episode that those were like the numbers of like Pete Postlewaite and, you know, Timmy McStappen.
It was
like,
probably, you know, it was probably Mark Burley.
49 and 51 or whatever it was.
Probably Mark Burley and Frank Thomas, maybe.
Which it was like you used those numbers before and then you finally like owned up to who they were in a different episode because you used those fucking numbers.
No.
It's always about fucking baseball.
I need numbers, okay? And I remember that Lou Gehrig hit 493 home runs. Also, Fred McGriff did. But I like Lou Gehrig better. And then fucking Hank Aaron hit 755 home runs. Like, come on.
Well, where does Joss Whedon fit into this, Steve?
Joss Whedon doesn't... He didn't hit any home runs.
Well, that you know of.
No, that...
So how does Buffy fit into this, Steve?
Well, we haven't mentioned Buffy in like one or two episodes, so I should find a way to fit in Buffy.
Yeah.
So, it's the year
49,000. No, you already established the year. What's going on in this year, Steve?
Well, now I'm trying to think of the number of some
don't stop.
Number from Buffy.
Let it go. That's
493,755. That's the number. What the fuck was? What are we talking about even?
Why do I have to bring it up? This is what you're. This is your story, okay. Steve.
So they go to this year because and it's the year of planet Earth, and it's the first year that they actually go to a new Earth. It's not the new. It's not the second Earth. It's the third Earth. Oh fuck.
So that's what happens on the next episode. Thanks for listening, people. I've been John.
Are we really done?
I don't know. Did you want to, like, continue that?
I don't even remember what...
I know. That's why we're going to stop. So, my name's been John.
It's the God Complex.
Uh-huh.
So, they...
I know I derailed you a couple times.
So much.
I'm taking my part in this. But then also, too, you go on a tangent.
I know. Well, you just yelled about baseball for some reason.
Dude, you actually, I recognize that every time you bring a number on there, it's related to baseball. So I was like, what baseball is this
about?
And you said it's Lou Gehrig's number. You said it's about baseball.
The number of home runs Lou Gehrig hit, and then the number of home runs Hank Aaron hit.
Right.
Okay. So, fine.
Why are you angry
at
me?
Shut up!
Jesus, God.
So, it's that year, and they're at the third Earth away from the
Earth.
Thirth? And he's trying to show Amy and Rory, like, a nice vacation, and they're all, like, kind of a low-key episode of PTSD. Like, they're a little jumpy and everything. And then this one alien race, who we've never seen before, comes up to the doctor and says, oh, you rolled your eyes? Comes up to the doctor and says, help us, help us. And then the doctor realizes, like, oh, in this timeline, the Daleks have wiped out this one alien species called, I don't know, the Pilsners.
Smoleks.
Smoleks? Okay.
Because their names were too similar.
Okay.
It's like, that's our trademark. We're sending our lawyers after you.
I just looked at my beer and was like, Pilsner, even though it's a lager. Whatever.
October Daleks.
So they
Dalek Fest.
The doctor says the doctor decides to help out this small species.
What were their names again?
The Pilsners? I don't know.
Smoleks.
So he goes to help them out and all of a sudden he's like battling the Daleks, and then all of a sudden it's the first episode of a goddamn two-parter. And it's going to end, it's going to be resolved in the next one. That's all I got.
Wow. That was a lot of lead up.
To nothing?
No. Then like
just like a Doctor Who tea party.
It's a seventh inning. It's a seventh inninger. So at the end of that, where they're going to sing, take me out to the...
It's called the seventh inning
ball
stretch.
Game. Well, it's a seventh inninger.
All right, let's be done.
Oh, now you want to be done?
Yeah.
You want like 5 minutes past me saying we're going to be done, but like no.
Because I wanted to actually do the thing that you wanted me to do.
So thanks for listening. Thanks for listening, new listeners, old listeners, medium listeners,
people
Patreon
who just
listeners,
accidentally hit play,
premium listeners, people who accidentally hit play. People who actually downloaded this thing, they were going to get some help from a doctor that was going to help them.
A doctor from the World Health Organization?
Yeah. Peter Capaldi!
Yes.
He was from the World Health Organization.
In World War Z, yes.
Hello, I'm the doctor from who? Doctor Who?
Just
who knows, Steve?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Let's be done.
Let's be done. So, I've been Steve.
And I guess I've been John.
Wait, okay, so we're done. Bye, people.
Bye. Record right in time for you to like just do a big old snort, so you know,
outtake.
Yeah, that's it.
They should just have like a whole thing of like, you know, 12 minutes of Steve turning his head and coughing.
Yeah, just coughing and snorting and, yeah, sniffling.
With the, but like with the seamless editing, people don't know that happens.
I do my best because I know I hate it. I don't hate it, but I do kind of judge other podcasts when I'm like, oh, you could have easily taken out that like sniffing or the coughing or something. It's, like, it's not hard. And like, if I notice that I, you know, you're talking and I hear a in the background, I'll just delete my track for that second. And so all of a sudden John's a little clearer.
Well, usually if I like see you doing something like that, I also, you know.
Oh yeah. When I, you know, we've got a good enough rapport. So you know when I'm going to, you know, when you hear, see me turn my head and cough, cause you know, I'm paranoid about hernias. You stop talking and then you pick it up pretty seamlessly. So
yeah. You try to.
No, I know. And the editing, I find it kind of satisfying. Not when we record for 2 fucking hours. That's a little exhausting.